listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 1st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm really glad to be here and happy Canada Day. To all my Canadian listeners.
Well, to everybody. Everybody should appreciate Canadians and Canada Day. It has given us Dr. Vicki Hunter, and I think we should be thankful. So, welcome. Welcome to those joining us live. Welcome to those that catch up with us from the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to tonight's broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we do have a good program tonight. We have a wonderful guest, but as always, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, it is the first Wednesday of the month, so we are happy to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Good to be with you again this month. Tonight we're going to talk on the reality disclosure, as long as the calls are not dropped on us again. Got to be suspicious, but not really.
So, aliens. It's aliens.
No, they want us. They want this to be stated. All right. So anyway, hope everybody's doing good. I'm sharing my perspective. Now, some may agree, some may disagree. That's fine. Take what you want. Leave the rest, as they say. If you have questions on anything I say, just post them in the chat room if you're listening live, and I will address them. So the big question, do aliens exist? With an estimated 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, of course they do. It's like a high duh factor there. So, you know, what else are you going to conclude? Any sane person would understand that. Yeah, of course life exists. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's abundant in all kinds of different forms. So let's bring in this concept of disclosure. It's been going on for decades. You know, we want disclosure. We want disclosure. And in my mind, there are essentially 2 aspects of disclosure. The general aspect is whether ETs exist. That's one. But there's a deeper aspect involving what the government knows and what the government has done with downed craft and bodies, living and dead. So the aspect of whether ETs exist is a self-evident fact, as is the belief that they are visiting the planet and have been for potentially millennia. There are just too many credible reports by credible witnesses to conclude otherwise. With all of the recent government-released evidence, the aspect of disclosure, frankly, is a moot point. In other words, the reality is that disclosure has already occurred, if you ask me, for all intents and purposes. The U.S. government has essentially disclosed that these craft and occupants exist, and they can't explain them all. Now, that doesn't mean that every craft that's, you know, flying funky out there in the skies is an alien craft. We know that most of them are not. Some are, most of them are not. So this leaves a deeper aspect of disclosure to discuss, namely what the governments of the world know and have covered up and why. In 1953, Robertson panel concluded that knowledge of UFOs should be kept from the public primarily because they pose no threat, the UFOs, and to avoid mass hysteria and the collapse of religion. So that was a long time ago, 73 years or so. And so that's kind of been the status quo for these many decades, right, until the last few years. However, as I alluded to, it does not take a genius to figure out that the main reason for the cover-ups is that governments want to recover downed craft in order to reverse engineer them for military purposes and to keep the technology from other governments. I mean, that's just, of course, that's what they want to do. And this has led to the two primary aspects of nearly all unexplained phenomena. And I've talked about this for years, fear and confusion, specifically government cover-ups, misinformation, and disinformation. So if you look at unexplained phenomena, especially UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, and UFOs, same thing, only different. You know, there's a lot of confusion about it because you can have different investigators looking at different cases, and they can draw certain conclusions to those. And on occasion, those conclusions contradict each other. So you can have one investigator drawing conclusions, another one drawing conclusions, and they just contradict. So it leads to confusion because we don't know the overall big picture of what's going on. And I could get into this with ghosts and spirits too. A lot of times they're just confusing data, if you will. And the ones that are not so confusing, it can lead to fear among people. I mean, how many people are afraid of ghosts and spirits? I mean, they're everywhere. And then you have people who are afraid of UFOs. There doesn't appear to be any threat from UFOs. It just, we haven't seen that. So that's kind of the overall thing. Yes, aliens exist. What the government's doing, you know, we have all kinds of conspiracy theories and all kinds of whistleblowers and all that, and we've gotten some perhaps insight into what they're doing, but we don't know the whole picture. So let's bring some perspective to this. ETs exist whether we believe it or not. What is, is. The universe is just too big. It's just too big. It's not reasonable to conclude that we are the only planet with life in the universe. Makes no sense and can't accept that. So if we refuse to accept that ETs exist due to religious reasons, it doesn't change the facts. You know, again, what is, our lives go on. It's just what we want, choose to believe or not believe. And so here's a couple of questions. So what if ETs exist? So what if they're visiting Earth? How does this change anything about our day-to-day life? Yeah, we still have to make a living, have to deal with common human problems. If anything, the knowledge that life is ubiquitous and abundant in the universe should comfort us and that we're not alone and give us hope that if ETs can overcome the inherent problems of growing, evolving, and getting along with one another, then so can we. So can we. And that should be very comforting. So let's talk about whether people have a right to know. And again, if you have questions on any of this, just let me know. And Michael or Vicky will let me know from the chat room.
I'll insert a comment from Wendy here. She said, the government only disclosed what we already know. So that's in line with what you're saying.
Well, that's a good point, you know. That's a very good point. So let's get back into this thing. Sorry, I had a couple of strays causing a problem here. All right. So what if they're if they exist, and so what if they're visiting Earth? You know, we have to get along with life. And again, let's talk about whether we have a right. People have a right to know about the existence of ETs. As many of you know, I grew up in a cult. Spent 40 years in it. First 4 years of my life, and I've been gone 27 years. Best decision I ever made. They told us what to think and what not to think, what to do, what not to do, etc. And as I said, I left that cult 27 years ago, and I started thinking for myself. And this is the beginning of critical thinking. And that's what I teach. Think for yourself. Don't just take it at face value. Do your research. Think for yourself and draw your own conclusions. As a result, it is my strong position that every human has the inalienable right to the truth, regardless of what it is, what it means, and where it takes us. This is what evolution and growth means. If we continue to treat people like sheeple, then they'll never learn to grow and evolve. Treating or considering people as sheeple is, in my opinion, a crime against humanity. It undermines human potential. No human, no government has the right to control the truth, especially with something as historic and momentous as the existence of other intelligent species in the universe. The law of control states that we cannot change or control other people. If we try, we will lose every time. And before I go on with the rest of some of these takeaways, I'll open it up to any questions or points that either of you may have.
Well, something that just crossed my mind, you know, is Stephen Greer, although I'm not a great fan, but he makes a point that the more disclosure, the more the government's going to say we're at war with aliens. But what would this do to governments, and could they fear losing control over the people? Like, is that not a big issue for them?
Well, but of course, governments always try to control people. So do religions. That's yeah. It's all about control. Yeah. Now, look, I understand there has to be some control measures in place for society to operate. Of course, there are. You know, you've got the rules of the road, right? You know, you drive, if you're in many countries, you drive on the right side of the road. That's good. Other countries, it's the left side, whatever. But it's the rules. It's the way everybody agrees to that. I'm going to drive on the right side of the road. I'm not going to veer off and, you know, crash into somebody. When a stop sign's there, we stop. You know, red light, green light, yellow light. We all have these rules of the road. Well, the same is true with society. Mm-hmm. We have to have agreed upon rules in order for everyone to get along and for the greater good. So that's cool. But there comes a time when both governments and religions try to exercise too much control. They try to determine what we are allowed to know. And that's where I have a problem with this kind of control. You can't tell me that I don't have a right to know whether aliens exist and whether they're here. Now, obviously, I've already said, of course they are. It's duh. Yeah, of course they exist and they're here. We've just had too much evidence for that. And so, cool. So, yeah, there's got to be some control. I'll pause.
No, I totally agree with you. Like, I'm just making the points of why they wouldn't want us to know how they made these decisions in the first place to not tell the people. Hmm. And it's to maintain these measures of control.
Well,
and I think that's an issue for those who have all the information.
And
that's all.
And my answer to Dr. Rick, good question. If knowing the truth would cause harm to someone or cause them to harm someone else, do they need to know the truth? Uh-huh. And the answer is absolutely. And now I know that may seem like a wrong answer, but here's the point. Who has the right to tell us what we should or should not know? No one. That's the point. And there is an evolution. I mean, we've been through eons of humans evolving and growing, and there have been conflicts, there have been this, there have been that, there have been injustices. It goes on and on. And so now here we are to a point, you know, and I mean, could it could it be that somebody harms somebody because they figure out that aliens exist? Yeah. And we, you know, they could have mental issues going on. But it could that happen. It's plausible. Does that mean that it's going to be enough people to warrant lying to them? At least, if nothing else, lies of omission. And so I can't do that. And that's because you have to understand, I came from a cult. I grew up in that. And they did not have the right to brainwash us. And it took a lot of effort to get out of that brainwashing. And it didn't just happen overnight. It took a while. So, yes, people have a right to know. That's the point I'm trying to make. And a lot of, you know, like the Robertson panel and others have said, well, people can't know because they don't know what to do with it. Are there people who are not that bright? Of course there are. They're all over the planet, you know, and they won't know what to do with that. But then there are people who are smart, who are grounded, who have a good, stable, reasonable outlook. And those people can educate the others. They can show an example. Yes, aliens are here. They're not hurting anybody. Let's just go on with our day. And I'm going to get more into that in a moment. So I hope
I'd like to add in there, if knowing the truth would cause harm to someone or cause them to harm someone else, you know, the first thing I think about is the people who are controlling the secrets are the ones usually to get hurt if they're revealed. And whether that applies to domestic abuse and violence, government abuse, you know, financial abuse, any kind of abuse. Is there a retaliation by certain people of the public? Of course. But that's, well, we can go to religions for that answer. Yeah. So usually it's the offender who, you know, feels like he's been harmed or she's been harmed. And then who wants to cause harm to someone else? Well, you know, that's time immemorial. Well, that goes on forever.
And there's also the other point that if somebody is going to harm somebody based on that, they don't need anything. They're going to find some other reason to harm somebody you know, and so it just doesn't stand to, you know, to discussion or the facts. So, anyway, let's move on with some takeaways.
Well, if you don't mind,
go ahead.
I just want to throw in a couple of things here that I've been thinking about. And, you know, we're looking at this from a world that, is the 21st century, the year 2026. Everything that we're talking about that's been going on, it happened, you know, if we're talking about, the traditional line of thinking of, you know, have there been aliens here before? A lot of people think for a long time, ancient aliens, et cetera. But you think you can say there was a spike around World War II into the Cold War. You can almost understand the fact that there was a lot going into it. You know, governments, religions, everything, these are all groups of people. They're just human beings like everybody else. And I think that's something to bear in mind, too, because everybody has, you know, a lot of people have these competing desires to control and whatnot. So you definitely have that in religions. You have that in government. You have this whole kind of global conflict going on of the Cold War. Everybody's using it for to excuse all kinds of horrible things, etc. But also the people of 1945 are a lot different than the people of 2026. And I think that we as a people now are much more capable of hearing the truth and understanding the truth than the people of 1945. Now, that being said, you know, while I can see the pragmatic, practical reason for wanting to not disclose in that era, you know, where it's just in a totally different world. Religion is a much more powerful thing in people's lives. And the concept of alien life hadn't been thoroughly established through media and fiction and culture. But even with all that said, in the modern world, the vast majority of nations have some kind of representative democracy. The United States here is it's a democratic republic bound by a constitution. It is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And in order for us to be participants in that government, we have got to be aware of things. And, you know, there has got to be secrets. Any effective government has to have certain secrets because we live in the real world. We're not the only people here. We have international adversaries. There is a constant competition. It is simply the world that we live in. But if we're going to be effective citizens, if we're going to be an effective part of our government, we have to know what's going on. So, because that we are a constitutional republic, because we are citizens in this democracy, I come back to the fact that, you know what, if we are free, freedom means, you know, knowing things for better or worse. Freedom means knowing the truth. And while I can see the pragmatic reasons some people might say, I don't even know what I might do if I'm really in that situation. You plot me in 1945. I know that aliens exist. I also see the state of humanity. I don't know what I would do. But, you know, from where I sit, Michael Kelly, in, you know, 2026, because of the values that we have as a society, as individual members of this, you know, active members of our own government, that we have a right and a need to know things so critical as this. So those are the points I was thinking about.
Good points. Dr. Kevin, though, was asking, he said, can we accept that maybe there exists in the universe a malicious force in the universe? You know, look, I'm sure there might be, but we've been okay so far.
And let me comment on that. And then Dr. Rick also made another good comment, too. Is there a malicious force in the universe? Yeah, there's one on Earth, more than one. and you know, and we're not getting away from here very quick, very anytime soon. So we're contained. You know, many people was at Prison Planet and all that stuff. But, you know, here's the thing. The universe is indifferent. The universe doesn't care whether you or I live or die. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the supernovas and other black holes and then taking out potentially inhabited planets. I mean, the universe doesn't care. And so now, is there some kind of malicious force in the universe? Well, probably, but it's going to be very locally contained on these planets that are evolving, like Earth. And so I don't believe, I mean, that's getting very close to religion, you know, like the devil and demons and stuff, which I do not believe in any way, shape, or form. I did. I grew up believing in them, but I don't. There's no reason to believe in that kind of a thing. And so now let's kind of dovetail into Dr. Rick's point. Gerardo Balducci from the Vatican, I think he might have been a scientist back in the day, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong about that. But he stated that ETs have a physical nature and a spiritual side and are part of God's creation. And this,
I think
this,
Pope Leo has acknowledged that there are references to.
And so that's another point when we use critical thinking, when we start reasoning on it. Okay. There are other intelligent species out there, okay? And are they not going to initially be inherently similar to us, you know, in terms of a spiritual nature and a physical nature? I mean, I don't believe that a species can survive and not killing themselves unless they evolve spiritually. And it takes so long to come up and for technology to be developed, you know, like warp drive or whatever. It takes so long that societies have the opportunity to develop and evolve spiritually so that they're not going out and taking over planets, because there's no reason to invade planets. I mean, there's so much material in the universe. There's so many places you can go get whatever you want without taking over a planet. You know, that makes no sense. That's the old movies, you know, right? And even Star Trek, you know, which was really examining cultural issues here on Earth. But, you know, you got the Klingons and you got the Romulans and the Borg and whoever. But in my opinion, I just don't believe that, because if you're capable of interstellar flight travel, you've necessarily spiritually evolved to where you don't need to harm other people. It kind of gets back to the prime directive a little bit. So those are my thoughts on it. Anything else you want to add?
You just made me have a flash. What was the species, Michael, with the big ears?
Ferengi.
Ferengi.
Frankie, I love those guys. I'm sorry. Rubs okay. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that what we have to do is turn our thinking around. It's not about are they here and we're the first. They were here first and we evolved into their territory. It's the same thing as nature. You know, why are those animals in our city? Well, we're actually in their territory.
Yeah.
You know, so if we can turn our thinking a little bit, that we are second, if not, you know, way down the line, the 50th species to evolve, but they were here before us, then I think we got a better kind of a thought programming going on that we can coexist. Otherwise, they would have done a lot of things to us before now.
Yeah.
And I know people talk about experimentation and, you know, abduction and so on, which is a whole other topic. I don't necessarily know that all of it is entirely true in the way someone perceives it, because all realities are subjective.
Yeah.
So, it's all those fears, though, and all those, you know, TV shows like Outer Limits and whatever that freaks people out.
And I fully expected alien abductions to pop up, too, you know, about fear, you know, or are they here to harm us? And I, after so many years and decades looking at this and researching it and all that, is it possible that aliens are abducting? It's possible.
I think it's more likely the governments are.
Yes, it's more plausible that it's the governments screwing with people than aliens, because otherwise there's been no evidence that they're trying to shoot down planes or anything. You know, there's all kinds of stories. But let's move on to wrap some final points, some summation points, and try to bring it together a little bit, because this is where – I think we're kind of missing the boat a little bit. And these are some takeaways from everything we've discussed. ETs exist. They are visiting this planet. They pose no threat. We can take comfort in the fact that we are not alone. You know, this fact does not fundamentally change our day-to-day lives. Disclosure is already happened. It really has. It's, for all intents and purposes, it's done. The real question here is, what are you doing in your day-to-day life that contributes to humanity? How are you contributing to peace? Are you trying to control others, such as your spouse or partner, or are you letting them grow as human beings? Are you developing your relationship and communication skills? These are all basic practical life skills. Are you helping others and paying it forward whenever you get the chance? The reality of disclosure is not when will it happen, because it effectively already has. A much bigger and more important question is, what are we doing to become decent human beings? Aliens have been around for billions of years, but we have not. Make your life count by being a decent human being, by delivering your greatness to the world, and thus making the world a better place for everyone. That's the point. Don't get so swept up with all this. Oh, aliens exist. That's what the government's saying. Of course they do. So what? Go on with your life. Be a decent human being. Help people when you can. Be kind. Give somebody an encouraging word. Those are the things that really matter in our lives. Because, you know, if you're like me, I mean, I've seen a UFO or two here and there, but aliens are not really a part of my life. You know, I sure love to meet one time or sometime, you know, that's probably not going to happen. But what can I do in my sphere of influence to make the world a better place? And so I hope that some of these points have resonated with you. Again, my perspective, you can agree, you can disagree. That's fine. Take what you want, leave the rest. But hopefully it gives you another perspective, another slant on things.
Can I just share a little story that happened only like a week ago? Well, I'll share it anyway. I mean,
no, please don't.
I know. I have a client. I've known this family for 25 years, and every now and again, especially the dad, he checks in. And one of the things he's been really struggling with is, what's life all about? Like, why are we here? What's going on? Now, it's relevant here. He deals with a lot of racism. because he's not white. And so they encounter more than average white people. And I think that is relevant. So he's got it kind of amplified in his mind. They are such good people. And I said, you know, New Agers will say we're here to learn. I really think I like to turn that around and say we're here to create. Earth is like a garden. And sometimes the weeds get out of control, you know, and we have to pull the weeds. But I said, you're a good man. You're a good husband. You're a good dad. You're a good human being. And whether it's smiling at the checkout counter, helping somebody out, you are setting the example for what it means to be a good human being. And he says, you know, he smiled and he said, I just did that at the grocery store the other day. Somebody in front of me was struggling with their bill. I just helped pay for it. He said, it's nothing to me. I said, yeah, what's a tiny thing to you is big to them. And yeah. And he said, but I like to do those things. It makes me feel better. And I said, that's the example. And you no matter how hard life is getting or has been, you don't stray from who you are. You know, and I think that's the point you're trying to make, too. Just be a good human being because we're here to create. You know,
we're here to help each other, too. You know,
yeah,
we're all trying to get through this alive and, you know, and figure out the deeper things. But really, the deepest thing that we can figure out is, again, how to be a decent human being, how to have a good, peaceful life, how to have a stable life, not fighting, not road raging, not, you know, giving people a break whenever you can, because it doesn't mean anything. Again, so what? So what? So what? So what? You know, it doesn't matter. Just be decent. I mean, it doesn't matter if somebody's pulling out in front of you. Let him go. It doesn't matter. Maybe they've had a really bad day. Let him go. You know, wish him well. We don't need to get upset with people as much as we do. You know, just be decent, be kind, and keep plugging away. So, any other points?
No, it's like my nephew told me, revealed that he is one of those crazy road rage drivers, screaming and yelling all the time. And I looked at him, I said, you just got to stop that bleep. You know, just stop that. You're only hurting yourself. You know, you're not hurting anybody else. Like, chill out. Nobody cares.
Yeah, so that's true.
I'm with you, totally with you. I've shared with you my experiences. You know, when I've seen another ship or had other things happen, I shrug them off because it's no big deal. They're here, so what? I've always known that. You know, it's like saw another triangle ship. Oh, you didn't tell anybody? No. Why? I don't care. Like, they're here.
Well, it's like seeing an airplane, you know, flying across the sky. It's like, okay, it's an airplane. So what?
I know.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Anyway, I'm so glad you came on the program tonight. Thank you very much, Dr. Douglas Kelly. It's always a pleasure.
Well, always thank you, and thanks to everybody.
Great conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And again, thanks to everybody for listening in and those on the archives as well. And next week, I don't know, Michael, if you're going to announce it, but next week, Dr. Norman Wilson will be a guest, and his topic, I believe, is the core star, which is basically about the mind. And so he'll be on next week, and he's always interesting to listen to. So we'll look forward to that.
And then we'll have Wendy, our card keeper, on the following week, and we're going to look at some patterns, and we'll see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good lineup. You guys are reading my mind tonight, too.
Well, thanks, everyone, and I'll bid you adieu and have a good rest of the program.
Good night, Dr. Kelly.
Thanks so much. Now, that was a great conversation. And to our live listeners, if you do want an Oracle card and a tarot card pulled, just put your name in the chat, and we'll grab one for you.
Yeah, we got time here. I know conversation could have gone on forever, Michael, but we got time for a few cards. Anybody wants to put their name in the chat?
So we'll give it a little bit. Michael, there's always a little bit of lag, but, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting decade.
Yeah, I keep hoping that one of those gray aliens is going to knock on your door and say, your dogs bark too loud.
Yeah, they'd have to get in line. My neighbors are right up front, too. But
that's funny. Or returning your cat because they abducted it.
Yeah, Maine Coons are in high demand. You know, aliens. I don't know if they have them on their planet. So, you know.
I know.
You got to do what you got to do.
Somebody had it as a pet for a while and it scratched his eye and said, yeah, I'm giving it back.
Well, okay, for cards, we have Dr. Kevin up first. And yeah. Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, according to this, there might be a situation coming up or you're going through where it's kind of read the room, Kevin. The Ten of Hearts is always about family, community. So with awareness, it's like any good public speaker gets up and reads the room. What's the energy of the room? You can't just dump on them. You got to like tune in a little bit to what's the connected energy. And feel your way around. And I think it's going to help you in a situation coming up where read the room. And then you'll know better how to participate and how to move the conversations forward. I hope that makes sense in some way.
Yeah, so. I love it. We have Dr. Jeff up next, the Blind Outdoorsman. Great guy. Make sure to catch him on Facebook. And Dr. Jeff, welcome for you tonight. I have a wild card. First wild card of the night, number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, I always see the 5 of Clubs as victory after a battle. So if there's something you were struggling with or looking for an answer to, I think it's coming to you or has come to you. So hoping for an answer or hoping this is the answer. But I think you're onto something, Jeff. It's like whether that's confidence, expansion, you know, there's always a hurdle now and again. Hey, Michael, you know, where it's like overcoming that hurdle. So you're there. And Wendy is saying in the chat that you had number 7 hope last week.
Not wild card number seven. The other number 7 self-mastery.
Yeah, the other number 7. But 7 is relevant. 7 is a number that asks for details. You know, it 7 is a fundamental number. We live 7 days of the week, 7 52-day cycles in a year. So, you know, we always think it's mystical, magical. Well, it may be, but it's details. And I think that this is where that 7 is speaking to you, Jeff. And I think you've arrived into something, and doors open now. So I think that's pretty cool.
I love it.
We have Teresa.
Teresa, for you, I have number 2, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard that you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
The King of Pentacles, usually that's somebody with authority, finance, money, you know. I'm going to go with this, Teresa, that if there was someone who you felt maybe a little bit intimidated by or a little bit uneasy with, maybe talking about money, that could be a boss, that could be a partner, that could be a friend. It's like knowing that we're all just people And just because somebody has decision making doesn't mean they're more important than we are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like stand up for yourself. I think you've got it. I really do. I'm not just blowing smoke here. It's like having a conversation with somebody, but you're feeling like you're validating yourself, and the conversation validates you more for that. So it's good. It's an evolution. That's awesome.
I love it. Very well said.
So Wendy wants to correct something. It was the week before last for Jeff, not last week. So just a correction in the chat. All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Well, Wendy, for you tonight, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action, and it fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and an action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, to investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Ooh, the Ace of Clubs, Wendy. Huh. Arriving into a moment, sympathy, empathy, accomplishment. I want to say you were right. So there might be a little bit of vindication there, validation. that's okay. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, the Ace of Clubs is always accomplishment through, you know, applying yourself and growth and working toward, with the Ace of Spades is like overcoming stuff. The Ace of Clubs is arriving to a moment through achievements. So I think your insights, your intuition have been correct, and it's going to be validated in some way. So there's a learning process here, and it's more about self-observing than it is more external. It's more internal. So I hope that makes sense for you, Wendy. Thanks for the feedback, Kevin. He has another performance coming up and was thinking of ducking out, but he won't let them down.
Well, you read the room. Down. The show must go on.
Read the room. We have Audra next.
Audra, for you, I have another wild card. It's wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is the state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for the future, for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. I love that card.
I do too. And with the Knight of Pentacles and that Jack of Diamonds. Now remember that Knights or Jacks can be male or female, everybody. Because there's, you know, there's so-called Knights for the Kings, but no princesses for the Queens. So freedom and the Jack of Diamonds. Audra, I think you... You know what you know, and you finally have the confidence that you know what you know. And I don't know, for a moment it popped in my head, what you've been through in the last 2, 3, 4 years, and you've worked really hard, and you don't necessarily have to prove anything anymore because you're doing it. You are the proof of who and what you are and doing a great job, and now there's rewards coming. So you have the freedom to be more of who you are. But the rewards are coming. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and I say, I think you got a bit of a raise coming to you, a bonus, something extra coming your way. And that's always a nice thing, of course.
That is what we like to hear. Better than the other way.
I know. So, I mean, you've done good, Audra. And you have a right to say, it reminds me of a friend of mine. She said, you know, in my field, it's skilled and I'm a professional. And I am the best in my field in Western Canada. She makes no bones about it, you know. And she says, I know I am. Because people who are engineers and contractors, construction guys, order stuff from us. And she said, and they're asking me for advice, but they're the ones who are supposed to know what they're doing, architects mm-hmm. and stuff especially. She said, but I'm educating them, and that's their specialty. So I know that I'm good. So anyway, I think you have a right to be that now, Audra. So you're going to be just fine. You're going to be awesome.
I love it.
That same friend of mine, by the way, she's the one. There was a client. His order was in.
Oh, really?
And she emailed him. She sent 3 emails and left a phone message. And then a week later, he shows up at the office saying, "Where's my order?" And, "Well, I emailed you." "No, you're supposed to text me." And she says, "I'm not your mother." That just cracked me up. It's like, I did what I'm supposed to do. I'm not your mother. Yeah, that's her. That's my girl. And why I love her so much. So, yeah, just sharing that little story.
Well, thank you for doing that. It's a great story. And, I love these. Sometimes some of my favorite parts of our discussion is kind of when we kind of get towards the end and we're starting to close up and we get those, we get the good stuff. That's when you get the anecdotes and you get the real good sauce,
Yeah.
But it has been a fun conversation we've had.
It has.
Miracle is also offering her contributions. I don't think you can hear it, Dr. Vicky, but our live listeners can hear Miracle adding her contributions to it. So either there's a neighborhood dog barking or there's an extraterrestrial outside my backyard. I don't know what. It's going to be one or the other. But I will tell you, it is that time of the evening. I appreciate everybody for sticking with us through the technical difficulties earlier on. It is kind of funny. We're talking about disclosure and the truth about aliens, and the call kind of just drops out. So I lost. We just started, and I lost both of you. And, the line just went dead.
In the next few weeks, I'd like to talk about CERN shutting down and all the chatter going on around about interdimensional timelines and the Mandela effect and what people are saying. So we'll have that conversation to look forward to also.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple coming up, but then we have that one will be the last one probably July, and then we'll cycle back around. We got some good content coming up.
Look forward to it.
I tell you, the exciting thing is, we don't have to come up with any ideas. We got it all set to go.
And we don't have to last-minute wing it, Michael.
Yeah, but sometimes
sometimes we do that.
I tell you.
And we do brainstorm. But,
we do. But also, we've been talking a long time, and I think what we like to do here is we want to come together, and, we want to impart some lessons or anything, little bits of wisdom we pick up along the way of life and through the school. And Dr. Vicky, I know you got me beat on that front, but I like to also play the layman and, sometimes I'll play the heel. Anybody that knows wrestling knows that, the devil's advocate, so to speak, sometimes, too. But we're here to impart knowledge, and I think the best way you can do that a lot of times is by having a good conversation. And so that is one thing that I think you and I can do.
Yeah, we sure do, and I enjoy every minute of it, Michael. We've been doing it a long time, and, the gods in the universe be willing, we'll be here for a while yet. So don't let them flip you around out there, people. Take a, heed Dr. Kelly's words and our words to say don't let them push you around out there and change who you are. Stay true.
Absolutely. Always good advice. Well, thanks, everybody. We're going to have Dr. Carmen Wilson with us next week, and then our card keeper, Wendy, after. We're looking forward to it. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.